You're listening to The People's Show.
You come at the K, you best not miss.
Left circle, Besser, one time slot shot, he scores. Brock Besser beats Jordan Binnington on the power play, and the Canucks are up 4-0.
With Seth, Dan, and Randeep.
The biggest thing to hit Canada because the Maple Leafs suck.
On the official home of the Canucks.
Goes all the way down the ice, here's Pettersson after it. He's got a chance at a breakaway. Pettersson in clean, is tripped by Murray, but he scores. Dinky Pete comes out of the box and puts the puck into the back of the net.
Sportsnet 650.
Welcome, citizens of the People's Show. We come to you live on Sportsnet 650, on your Sportsnet app, on your at-home smart speaker. Hey, Google, play Sportsnet 650. You can also listen through HD radio, through your FM dial, 96.9 HD. Three, one of the many ways you can listen to us. Also, on demand, anytime, anywhere you want, via podcast, on your favorite podcatcher. Please subscribe, leave a review. We do appreciate it. This hour of The People's Show is brought to you by Surrey Honda at 152nd and Fraser Highway, where you'll find quality and community. It's Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah, and Randeep Janda. A short show today, as we will take you to Montreal for Game 3 between the Montreal Canadiens and the Vegas Golden Knights, as that series is tied up at one apiece. We'll be joined by Kevin Hodgson after 3:30. Friday quiz coming up at 3:40. You can get in on that and play along with us, and of course against Sat and Randeep. And David Pignota joins us after 4 o'clock. Plus, not saying, just saying, after 4:30. It is the People's Show. We're going to get into some Euro talk a little bit later on this segment, but the news right now, as Marc Bergevin speaks to media, his coach, his head coach, Dominique Ducharme, is unable to be behind the bench. He has a positive COVID test, and we wish him the best of health. He was fully vaccinated, but 2 weeks had not passed from his second dose of the vaccination for COVID-19, and he has now tested positive. So wishing him the best of luck, and of course a very difficult spot now for the Habs going into this Game 3. They had some good vibes going, sad, after a Game 2 win, but this kind of certainly dampens the mood a little bit.
Just a reminder of the reality in which we live in, the pandemic, right? And you know, getting vaccinated is the right thing to do. You know, we've all had our one shot, waiting for a second shot. It doesn't mean that if you are fully vaccinated, even that you still cannot contract the virus. Now, the positive thing is, because of the fact that he's had two shots and he got close to his full immunity, hopefully he should be okay getting through this. At least we hope so. From a physical standpoint, him being vaccinated hopefully helps him get through this a lot easier than like we saw others who've had COVID, of course, and the things they've suffered through. But it's the reality of the season. And as much as we feel like we're kind of getting close to the finish line and the clear, we're not fully there yet. And this reality does exist. And I don't mean this to sound callous, because I'm not. And I think this is something that guys can rally around. I don't think it's going to shake them to the core. They've been through the COVID reality all season. I don't think this will surprise the group. But if there is one sport, especially when we get this far and the systems are figured out already and guys are already very aware of what they need to do and how to play and the identity is already forged, you can get by without your head coach for a couple of weeks. I think Montreal can use this to their advantage as far as emotionally goes tonight, and I don't think this is something that derails them. At least it should not be something that derails them.
Well, they have a veteran group, and remember, they went through something similar last year. Not COVID-related, but Claude Julien, remember, he had to step away from the team. Kirk Muller filled in as the head coach. This is a different coach, a different scenario, but yet again, you got a veteran coach in Luke Richardson coming in. Alex Burrows is going to be the lead assistant now, so they do have, you know, that experience of having gone through that. And the other thing about systems, yes, absolutely, their system is one that they've been thriving with that veteran group and the young guys chipping in as well. You know, they're a team that does play the matchup game with Philippe Dano, but they use all four lines. They roll those four lines pretty consistently. So if you get a lead in this game, which is, if Dom Ducharme is there or if he's not, is still key to their game. They need to get that lead. Their system is pretty, you know, pretty set in. And we saw that in the last game. So to me, if they fall behind in this game, that's where the coaching aspect, if you have to maybe put the lines in a blender, that's where those individual decisions come in. But if they get that early lead, guys, like the last game, yeah, you know, that system is kind of set in place, and that's why you have those veteran guys. You have a Carey Price. You have a Shea Weber. You have, obviously, go through that list. But I think one thing that maybe may set in, though, is the individual worry, right? Dominic Ducharme tested positive. Players, as of right now, are testing negative.
Mm-hmm.
But that added stress of, will that change tomorrow?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That they got to live with. And that's like that's one of the realities of COVID that unfortunately every single person, whether it's a player or not, has to deal with in that moment.
And still, of course, when it comes to traveling, this is part of the concern and why the border has been closed and that extended today and why the NHL had the Canadian division separate for so long. First bit of travel, and here we have this situation. Mark Bergevin did say that Ducharme is doing fine, and as again, it will be Luke Richardson running the bench with Alex Burrows and Sean Burke of the Montreal Canadiens here. Now, I'll say this about the Habs. You know, they take game two there, and regardless of who's on the bench, I think one of the things about this team is that they very much know what they have to do to win, right? And what they have to do to have success. And they kind of, they tried to have a similar formula in game one. They came out with a hot start, but couldn't get that first goal. They were able to in game two, ended up getting, you know, the first three. So it really helped as they, you know, went about that game and had Vegas chasing. The entire key to this series for Montreal is just getting that first goal, isn't it?
It absolutely is. They can at least play their style without extending themselves when they take the lead, right? They can play more conservative. They don't have to push the pace too much or take any risks. And when they don't take risks, they don't give up a lot, right? And as good as Vegas is, when you do your best to keep them to the outside, you can't create something when it's not there. So there are a lot of shots, ones and one and dones, and it makes life a lot more difficult for Vegas to try to break them down. Now, we saw Vegas, even though they were down a couple at home, they came back and almost tied the game late and really made a game of it. So you're not in the clear, even if you do get a lead against Vegas, but they can really play their style that way. And I do think being back at home in 3,500 is going to sound like what, Randy?
35,000, I swear to God.
So, I mean, I think the guys are going to be feeling really good about themselves. And you get that first goal, and you know that positive vibe starts building in the, you know, starts building up in the building. I think if they get that first goal, there's a really good chance they win tonight.
You know, Vegas really did have a. I think one of the big moments for Vegas in that Colorado series, Randeep, was just going down 2-0 and then being able to come back out of it. Because we saw last year against the Canucks, and then it carried through in the series against Dallas in the Western Conference Final. When this team gets shook, they get away from their game a little bit.
Oh, for sure. And let's go back to the first round, though, against Minnesota. Yeah. They got pushed to the brink there, right? They kind of had to be forced and a little scared there. The Colorado series was another one where they kind of played a dangerous game there, and sure, it was maybe unlucky in game two of that series, but yet again, yes, they kind of got stuck in that, where this series, a couple of interesting things, though, because yes, on paper, if you look at this, Vegas should win pretty handily, but if you look at this series thus far, remember we talked about this before the series started, if you win the center of the ice, the middle of the ice, and you're Montreal, you probably win this series. Slot shots, it's plus three Vegas. Inner slot shots, plus six Montreal, and rebound chances in this series, plus two. So Montreal is having success in that part of the ice. Yeah. That's why they're in a position to actually be competitive in every single game. And it comes down to their system, right? So you mentioned it. They get that first goal. And then after that, they're opportunistic. They're just jumping on select mistakes from Vegas when Vegas tries to extend themselves. So Vegas is going to have the skill, and they're going to have the advantage. They've got the difference makers, the individual stars, the Mark Stones of the world. The Misfits line has been outside of Braden Point and what Tampa's doing, Misfits line has been a team, you know, a line that can crank out the points. But Montreal's strength is in their system, and it's proven pretty successful over two games. It's only two games, but they are doing a decent job of limiting quality chances. Not shots, quality chances. It's pretty decent thus far for Montreal.
those quality chances, though, like, that's where the game's about. I mean, look at the way the Islanders have played a lot, right? It's not just about getting that volume today. If you can generate quality, the volume doesn't matter as much, but you have to be able to generate that quality. But that's a big reason why Montreal finds themselves here tied 1-1 in the semifinal.
There's two players on Montreal. And look, we've talked about Deneau here on the show. He's right now like the most beloved center that can't score a ton in the National Hockey League. And as an unrestricted free agent, people are going to look at that like, wow, that guy could really help us going into the playoffs. And we'll see if Montreal is able to keep him or if he ends up somewhere else on a pretty nice deal through his late 20s and early 30s. But another guy, too, that just seems to step up in a lot of big moments and has a lot of big goals in these playoffs, Yoel Armia. This guy, throughout every series, has had big goals in big moments, is an unrestricted free agent, and that's a guy, like, fits on a third line, does a lot of different things. I mean, it might be the type of player that the Canucks might look at, but I'm just saying, Yoel Armia is a guy that has really stood out to me for the Habs and really helped them lengthen their lineup.
He's a guy who's going to get paid now all of a sudden. And no, I don't think he's going to get that $3.5-4 million contract. But you guys know how this works. You play on a team that has success. You exhibit those things that matter to people, hockey people in the postseason. That's, can you play tough games? Can you score big goals? How are you in the trenches? And I think Joel Armia has really checked off a lot of those boxes so far in this postseason. And someone's going to give him, you know, a 3-year contract, I think, in that, you know, $2.5 million plus range. I don't know if Vancouver fits into that market, to be honest. Might be a bit too rich for what he brings, but he's priced himself out of being a bargain this offseason, I can tell you that much.
He's going to be Jay Beagled by somebody, and hopefully it's not the Vancouver Canucks because we know how that worked. But yeah, listen, you look at the wingers up and down this lineup for Montreal, there are players that lean in and their give a bleep factor is really, really high. I'm talking about from their skilled guys, from a Brendan Gallagher. I know Josh Anderson hasn't really produced offensively, but he helped us, you know, produce a goal last game. These guys, physically and just from an engagement level, go down that list. Paul Byron, yeah, not super skilled, but guess what? He's got speed, and he's not taking a shift off. Same thing with Armia, you mentioned. Corey Perry, guy can barely skate these days, but guess what? He's parking his ass in front of the net. There's a personality, a characteristic that Marc Bergevin paid for, and yes, he overpaid for some of these guys, but there's a certain trait that all of these guys have, and it's that engagement level where, you know, in Vancouver, we've been asking, all right, you know, certain players disappear in games in Vancouver. Jake Virtanen's had that element to him, but he's not the only one. Mm-hmm. Zach MacEwen sometimes goes MIA in games. This Montreal team has some of those guys offensively, but that engagement level. Engagement, you've seen it pretty much all year. Even when they were struggling offensively, you know, I know they had their ups and downs this year, but engagement generally was not questioned. They were not getting good goaltending. They were not maybe getting the special teams play on the power play. But your wingers here, these guys, they're still the heavy underdog here. But there's a certain trait that Marc Bergevin was going for. And it's a playoff-ready trait, which is just engagement levels very, very high. And they don't take a shift off.
That game is coming up here on Sportsnet 650. Puck drop from Montreal at 5 o'clock. 3,500 fans at Le Centre Bell. And as mentioned, Dominique Ducharme not coaching the Habs, at least for the next 10 days, as he has a positive COVID test. He's been said to be feeling okay. It will be Luke Richardson behind the bench for the Habs tonight. Sean Burke and Alex Burrows as the other coaches on the bench for Montreal. This text coming in, as it was the big match of the day at the Euros. Mike G, how are your English listeners holding up? Scotland made Wembley home. Their fans were louder. The players showed more heart and dedication. England very fortunate to get a draw. Sterling trash, Kane trash, Yorkshire Pirlo invisible. Foden, poop emoji, Rice overrated, Tierney, Scottish Conte was absolute class.
It's coming home.
No, it's not. No, it's not. Hey, I said this before, and you guys, you know, Sat, you were of the same opinion, but the English gonna English.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what happened here. It's the overhyped job, right? The manager's overhyped, the player's overhyped. And now the pressure of playing at home for the majority of the games? Ooh, get ready, because the tabloids are about to dig in, folks.
Okay, one thing I will say, they have 4 points in two matches. Mm-hmm. They haven't looked impressive, but, I mean, they're through to the next stage at least, right? So, I mean, to some degree, they've accomplished what they need to accomplish. The problem, though, is why are they so toothless? Why are Southgate squads always so toothless? And they were again today. And Mike G is absolutely right. Scotland was far better. McGregor was fantastic in the midfield. I thought the kid Billy Gilmore had a good match too. Che Adams was pushing the pace. I mean, they play with a lot of heart. Robertson's super talented. I look at that squad, man, and they really laid it out. And I thought they finally, from a managerial squad decision standpoint, made the right call by going with their best players, and it made a big difference with how they played. What did we say after that first match? It was good that England won, but is Southgate going to lean on Sterling too much? Will this just mean that Sterling never comes out? Sterling was next to useless for the most part today, yet he stayed in the most part, and he wasn't the first guy to come out. He wasn't the second guy to come off. That might be the ultimate undoing, being way too loyal to guys who are not informed.
Yeah, Southgate is missing it right now. He is off the mark. And I think one of their biggest issues, they can have all the attacking talent in the world. Declan Rice right now, and him and Phillips in the midfield, I don't think they jive. You know, Phillips was good in the first match, but you know, there was too much sideways, backwards passing today. Like, you've got to push it. You've got incredible attacking talent. Break some lines and get the ball up to your attackers. But England was way too conservative today. And I just don't quite understand it. You know, finally you had Jack Grealish come on to the field later on in the match, and he's like trying to take guys on one-on-one, trying to do something, but it just wasn't working because there was not enough in that England squad. And it's one of the big issues, I think, for this tournament and the format of the 24-team tournament. And you mentioned it, Sat. England, 4 points, they're fine. This tournament, the group stage, matches aren't important enough. Like, England, they're fine. Like, there's not a huge incentive for England to have the fire under their you-know-whats to go out and win this match today.
Okay, yeah, I would argue on the other side. Yes, the incentive is not there, but you know what is there? History. And that's when you start overthinking. Gareth Southgate has been a part of a bunch of England failures as a player, and at some point, mentally, that wears on you. So he's being conservative right now because he's playing scared.
Yeah.
That's history, folks.
And the rivalry with Scotland should, in theory, push England on. But let's bring in our next guest. It is Cam Tucker, BCLC, joining us here on The People's Show. Thanks for this, Cam. How are you?
I'm doing well, guys. Thanks for bringing me on today. That was a tough one for England and for bettors who were backing England. We had about 90% of money wagered on that game was on England to take the victory. They were the heavy favorites. They were -304 to win at the beginning of the match. That's a tough result. That's a tough result for the bettors. And here's motivation for those who plunked down money on England to win Euro 2020. We had 15% of money wagered pre-tournament on Euro 2020 outright markets on England to take it. So, you know, they get through to the next round, but do you really have a lot of confidence that they can take this all the way, that they can take it home after today? I'm not buying it.
Well, and Cam, I mean, it's going to get really fascinating. And tomorrow we get some big dogs playing. France against Hungary and Germany against Portugal. And for Sat Gibbs props this week, I got a couple of them for this week. I got France to win over Hungary 1.3 and Germany to draw against Portugal at 3.25. How are the bettors approaching this weekend's matches?
Well, it's interesting with the big game, and I think Portugal versus Germany, that's the heavyweight fight of the day in Euro 2020. And right now, our bettors, this is really interesting. I mean, 48% of the money right now is on Germany to win that game. They have odds of +125 at playnow.com to win. The interesting thing is, though, Sat, I believe you took the draw today, and 19% of the money right now is actually on the draw. So, you know, for Germany, you know, it's a tough start to the tournament. They lose their opener. They're going to be really motivated tomorrow to get a result. I think that they're going to be on the front foot early. for Portugal. You know, they open the tournament in style. They get 3 points. You know, but this is a big game. I mean, this is a game that I'm sure that they want to win as well, just as badly, because they can really put some, you know, a little bit of cushion between them and the rest of that group. It's going to be a fascinating match right now. 33% of the money is on Portugal to win, with odds of +220. So that'll be the big game of the day, I think, for Euro 2020. In terms of France, Hungary, we're not seeing a huge ton of action right now. I think that the bettors are saving themselves for the big match of the day.
Cam, switching over to the Stanley Cup playoffs, Montreal versus Vegas tonight, Game 3. Big win for the Habs in the last game. Is that convincing some bettors here to maybe back Montreal a little bit more?
No, not at all. Right now, we're looking at the Golden Knights, -170 money line to win this game. And right now, 86% of the money, at least of a few minutes ago, was on the Vegas Golden Knights to take this game. You know, the Habs, you know, right now, I think they're playing with a little bit of house money. They get by Toronto. They upset the Maple Leafs. They get past the Jets. Here they are in the Final Four. And now that they've tied this series 1-1, you know, is that enough to persuade the bettors that, you know, they have a better shot in this game than maybe what the odds are suggesting? At this point, no, the bettors are not. They're firmly on the Golden Knights to take this one, which is interesting. You know, obviously a big game, and the news out of Montreal today with Dominic Ducharme, testing positive for COVID-19. We haven't really seen a huge impact on the odds. Earlier today, the line moved. Montreal went from +140 to +145. So just a small change, and that only happened a few minutes ago. But right now, the bettors are firmly backing the Golden Knights to take Game 3.
I can't imagine there's too many people backing the Islanders to come back against the Lightning either.
You'd be surprised right now. You know, the interesting thing is that 84% of the money is on the Tampa Bay Lightning to win this series. And, you know, that's kind of what you would expect. They have odds right now of -500 to win this series. So if bettors are looking for value, you know, perhaps that's not the greatest option at this point. The Islanders right now are +350 to win the series. But the interesting thing is that only 46% of bets have actually come in on the Lightning to win this series, which is interesting. The vast majority of the money is on Tampa Bay to take this in advance to the Stanley Cup final, whereas, you know, the small majority of bets right now are still on the Islanders. So it is interesting, right now the Lightning, you know, they're obviously the favorites right now to win the Stanley Cup, +125 at playnow.com. They had odds of +700 at the start of the playoffs. So if you got in on the Lightning at the beginning of the Stanley Cup playoffs right now, things are looking pretty good. But, the Islanders, Barry Trotz, I think that they've got a fighting chance to at least take this series to, you know, 6 or 7 games.
Cam, we appreciate the time as always. Have a great weekend.
Yeah, you guys take care. All the best.
There is Cam Tucker of BCLC.
Yeah, always nice to catch up with Cam, filling in nicely from Matt Lee, who was away this week. For over 35 years, BCLC has been committed to developing fun, fair games that help to support events, teams, and athletes in BC, from Expo 86 to the 2010 Winter Games and beyond. Must be 19 plus to play and use your game sense.
It is the People's Show coming up. Kevin Hodgson, Heroes Hockey, and he's the winner of the NHL's 2021 Willie O'Ree Community Hero Award. We'll talk to Kevin next. You've often heard it said, you'll find quality and community at Surrey Honda. And right now, community is at the forefront, with Surrey Honda partnering up with the Surrey Firefighters Charitable Society to host a raffle focusing on mental health initiatives. By supporting a great cause like the Phoenix Society, you just might drive away with a 2021 Honda CR-V Sport. Ticket sales end June 23rd. That's just next week. So purchase yours today at SurreyFirefighters.com/raffle-Honda or in person at Surrey Honda at 152nd and Fraser Highway. The People's Show, Kevin Hodgson next on Sportsnet 650.
You're listening to The People's Show with Seth, Dan, and Randeep on the official home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650.
People's Show. And this hour of the People's Show is presented by Surrey Honda at 152nd and Fraser Highway, where you'll find quality and community. play along with the Friday quiz coming up in a few moments. Play against Randeep and Sat. Randeep has won the first two editions of the Friday quiz. So Sat looking to get on the board, and the people looking to get on the board as well.
I'm not going to lie. Last week, I was worrying a bit. It was very, very close last week. Mm.
It was a tight one last week.
It was close call at the end, and now I stay here. I'm 0-2, and I'm not very happy about it, so I have to redeem myself today. That's where I'm at.
It's coming up in about 10 minutes' time, and of course, the people play along via the Dunbar Lumber text line, 650-650. The first answer in on the Dunbar Lumber text line is the people's answer. All right, coming up. We've got lots going on. Dave Pignota is going to join us. We'll get more in on the Stanley Cup playoffs and what's to come in the offseason as we continue to look at what might happen with Jack Eichel and where Dougie Hamilton, the big-time free agent, will end up as well. And, of course, we'll take you to Montreal for Game 3 between the Montreal Canadiens and the Vegas Golden Knights. A quick thought. On what's going on with Tampa Bay and the New York Islanders through the 4 o'clock hour as well. Kevin Hodgson now joining us here. Heroes Hockey and the winner of the NHL's 2021 Willie O'Ree Community Award. Thanks for this, Kevin. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Well, congratulations on the award. It must have been a pretty awesome moment. I know PK Subban was the one who announced it. How was the whole experience and that turnout for you?
You know what? It was pretty incredible. I mean, the process sort of went on for a few weeks from when I found out I was a nominee to being a finalist. And sort of every step of the way, you just go, hey, if this is as far as it goes for me, I'll be okay with this. I mean, anytime your name is anywhere close to Willie O'Ree's, it's a good feeling. And I never could have imagined it ended up the way it did. And even when they announced it, it took me a second to react because I was looking at the other two finalists going, why aren't one of you celebrating? Because I just assumed one of them was going to win. I never would have thought it was going to be me, my name that PK called.
Well, and the reason that you're receiving this award is because you've been helping teach marginalized youth life skills, empowering them through hockey to get through all this. What has that journey been like, and how rewarding is it to see that pay off for these young kids?
It's been amazing. You know, since the program started in 2000, and our roots are Vancouver, the first program was in downtown east side of Vancouver, and we're still there 22 years later, same rink, same time, same day. But you know, we've had 15,000 kids come through the program, and for so many of them, we can remember that first day, you know, watching them do something they never thought they would get to do, which is call themselves a hockey player and be part of a team and be part of something. And I say to everybody, the most powerful thing in the world is a kid who starts to believe that anything's possible. I mean, we've just seen it happen where these kids step out onto the ice, never thought they'd get to do it. And then you get to have conversations about what else is possible. And, you know, in Vancouver 2 weeks ago, one of our players who came through the program graduated law school. And, you know, when we met him, when he first started, you wouldn't have seen that as a possibility. And, Now he's a lawyer, and he's taken advantage of every opportunity that people have given him, and he's worked hard to get through it, and we're just so proud of every one of the kids.
Congrats, Kevin, and I know this is particularly important because, 70% of those kids that you mentioned, the 15,000, are from BIPOC communities, one-third are girls as well, so just not only, you know, helping out kids and building them up as champions in the community, but you know, also hitting communities that maybe hockey has kind of ignored in the past. What does that mean to you?
Absolutely. I mean, the language that we use is I think for a very long time, the game of hockey has expected kind of people who want to play and kids to adapt to the established hockey system, you know, like it's some kind of character test or something like that. And that's never made sense to us. We need to adapt the game and bring it to where the kids are and meet the needs of the kids. And for a lot of people, that means, you know, really addressing some of the simple barriers, which is how do I get to the rink and what do I do when I get there? And so we pick the kids up from school. We transport them to the rink. We feed them when they get there. Their equipment's there waiting for them. We make it as easy as possible. But you're right. 70% of our players dating back to 2000, like year over year, are identified as BIPOC. And I think for someone like me, who I'm keenly aware of the fact that You know, my only barriers to success in hockey were talent and work ethic. You know, access to hockey was easy for me. And I think it's incumbent on all of us, where access to hockey was easy, or any sport was easy, to make it easy for somebody who it's hard for. And there's a lot of people that it's hard for. There's lots of people that the barriers look so big and so significant. And I think we have to remember, everybody's mountain is a different height, but it looks really unwieldy to them. So on the outside, we might say, oh, it's not a big deal. You know, there, hockey can be inclusive for everybody. Well, we have to do stuff to make it inclusive. We can't say it is. We have to make sure that it is. And we've just been so proud to be part of that, and just so proud of making sure that hockey is as accessible as possible.
Kevin Hodgson, Heroes Hockey, and the winner of NHL's 2021 Willie O'Ree Community Award. And, you know, there's so many things about hockey that I think growing up, getting to play it, and it's not just about the game on the ice and the exercise of it all, but it's the team building aspect and getting to do different things with and making new friends and breaking through communities. And I'm sure you see that all the time with these youth.
Yeah, you know, we're going to have 31 different programs across the country this year in 12 cities. And, you know, COVID, like everybody, we were forced to really kind of pivot and do things differently, because we weren't able to get all of our players on the ice, and we embrace Zoom like so many people. And one of the silver linings to that, we've always told all the kids, you know, in Vancouver, did you know that there's heroes just like you in Toronto? There's heroes like you in Ottawa. There's heroes like you in Belfast, Northern Ireland. But I think when you're just surviving and you're just trying to get by, you're not really too concerned about what's going on outside your neighborhood. So it was really great for us to use Zoom and get all of our players connected across Canada and Northern Ireland. And they got to see, A, how big their team was, B, that everybody wore the same jersey and did the same team cheer, and C, that some people look like them, some people look different, but they were all part of that same community. And so there was a real silver lining for us there that I think is, as we return to the ice this fall, is going to make it even better, because the kids are going to now really truly understand that they're not in this alone, and they've got a lot of people in a lot of places who have their back and are skating with them.
So moving forward here, what's next for the organization after this great win?
Well, I'll say to you what I said to Willie after I found out that I won the award. You know, a recognition like this is not an award for something you've already done. It's really handing you responsibility to do more moving forward. And so we need to make sure that we keep getting more kids on the ice. We need to make sure that we're a stronger advocate for marginalized communities. And we need to make sure we're doing our part to move hockey culture along. And one of the things that came with this award, which was really great, was a $25,000 cash prize. And we had said right out of the gate that that's going to mean more kids on the ice. And already we're able to do that, you know. And we're going to, this fall out in Surrey, we're going to be launching a superheroes program in Surrey that's going to be able to provide kids with physical and cognitive challenges a place to play. And we're going to work right alongside the Canucks Autism Network and make sure that collectively we're just reaching as many kids as possible who are living with disabilities and are just sitting there right now not even believing there's a place to play hockey. And, you know, Brendan Dillon is a great friend of ours, plays for the Capitals now. That's his hometown. He's proud to be from Surrey. And when I told him we were bringing superheroes to his city, he was just so excited, because he's been a big part of what we've done and spent a lot of time with our superheroes players. So, you know, we're taking this award and we're doing something with it right away, and we're making sure that more kids are going to get a chance to play.
Amazing work, Kevin. And I just want to shout out some of the work you do. You do weekly ice sessions, donations go in that direction, free equipment, on and off ice coaching, mentorship, development. The list goes on from there, but you're doing amazing work, and thank you for everything you do, and congratulations yet again on this win. And I'm sure we'll see you down the road with all the work that you're doing, whether it's here in Vancouver or across the country.
Absolutely. Thanks so much, guys. I appreciate the opportunity.
Thanks a lot, Kevin. There is Kevin Hodgson, Willie O'Ree winner for 2021 and Heroes Hockey. Again, you can check it out, heroeshockey.com, how you can get involved and check out what they are doing, and a lot of great things. And one thing we know about hockey, it's tough. It can be expensive. You need to break it into different communities, but that costs a lot of money. And what Kevin and Heroes Hockey are doing is pretty incredible. So a salute to them, and congrats on the win for the Willie O'Ree Award as well. It's Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah, and Randeep Janda. We are the People's Show here on Sportsnet 650, and it's time for the Friday quiz. Shiloh coming in earlier. Go, Sat, go. Lines must be drawn. Randeep, sorry.
All right, Shiloh's picked their side. So Shiloh used to be a fan of mine.
Yeah, not anymore.
Shiloh used to hate you. I don't know where this Shiloh stands now, but Shiloh clearly on Team Sat here. Okay, fine. Fair enough.
Well, Shiloh and I go way back. There is a long-standing relationship.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't feel as bad anymore.
I mean, eventually, like, Sat gives props. We gotta get BCLC to give us some odds on the Friday quiz every week.
Yeah. At this point, I'm like, I'm gonna be Leicester City soon if I don't pick up a win.
Who had the better odds, Scotland or Sat?
I don't know. After my performance last week, I'd say Scotland.
Pretty close.
650. Get in and play alongside. The people have their own questions as well. So Randeep right now, two wins. Sat's got none, and the people have zero as well. But questions go out to each of you, and the people, the first answer in on the Dunbar Lumber text line, that is the answer of the people here on the Friday quiz. All right. We're giving Sat the tee off today.
Oh.
All right. Question All right. number one. Only two Canucks had more than one goal in the 2011 Stanley Cup Finals. Of course, 10 years ago this week. One was Alex Burrows. The other was A, Daniel Sedin, B, Yannick Hansen, C, Max LaPierre, or D, Rafi Torres.
Hey, can you repeat the question for me one more time? This was for the Stanley Cup Finals or playoffs,
yes.
You said?
Only two Canucks had more than one goal in the 2011 Stanley Cup Finals. One was Alex Burrows. Who was the other? Daniel Sedin, Yannick Hansen, Max LaPierre, or Rafi Torres?
I say that was Rafi Torres.
Ooh, that is incorrect. It is C, Maxime LaPierre.
Dan, you can vouch for me. I just pointed at him. He's on the TV screen on Sportsnet right now.
He is, actually. Look at that.
He's that
now covering the Montreal Canadiens. That's a tough one. Tough one to take,
Sat. That's a bad one.
I thought you were going to hit that one out of the park.
Oh, that's what I thought, too, and I totally blanked on it. I'm having a bad go at this.
All right. Friday quiz. Question for Randy.
Okay.
Sam Reinhart played his entire WHL career with A, the Kootenay Ice, B, Portland Winterhawks, C, Kamloops Blazers, or D, Kelowna Rockets.
Oh, this one's easy. A, Kootenay Ice.
All right. Look at that. No hesitation.
Quick easy. On the trigger. Quick on
do?
The trigger.
Did you do some Sam Reinhart research today or what?
Not today. You're going to talk about the guy. You got to know where he played junior.
All right. Well, the... The Dunbar Lumber text line got the steal on Sat as they came in quite hot with Max LaPierre. But this question now here is for the people. All right? 650 on the Dunbar Lumber text line. First answer in to the text line is the people's answer. Here is your question, citizens of the People's Show. The last Buffalo Sabre to score 20-plus goals in a season that wasn't Jack Eichel or Sam Reinhart. Again, the last Buffalo Sabre to score 20-plus goals in a season that was not Jack Eichel or Sam Reinhart. A, Jeff Skinner. B, Jason Population Pominville. C, Victor Olofsson. Or D, Kyle Okposo. Answer that on the Dunbar Lumber text line. And the first answer in is Jeff Skinner. That is incorrect.
Ooh.
The correct answer is C, Victor Olofsson.
That was his rookie year, right? When he got injured, but he came back and, and potted a few. Yep.
Just broke the barrier at 20 goals. Jeff Skinner had 40 a few years ago in his contract year and has not had very many since. All right. Next question. We're going back to Sat. Randeep has a 1-0 lead on both Sat and the people here through one round. The Minnesota Wilds traded Alex Tuck to the Vegas Golden Knights in exchange. The Golden Knights agreed to select this player in the expansion draft.
I know this one.
All right. The answers, potentially. Clayton Stoner. A. Is it B, David Schlemko? C, Brad Hunt? Or D, Eric Halla?
It is D, Eric Halla.
All right. Look at that. Could have given him a bonus point for not giving them the multiple choice.
Yeah, you could have.
But I didn't.
Could have. I was ready to go. I was going to be like, Halla.
Those are two players that Canucks would love to have on their roster. And Vegas got them for free, basically.
Isn't that amazing?
Come on, man!
Sorry, I had to go there.
We'll see what happens with the Kraken draft. It's now less than a month away. All right, this question for you, Randy.
All right.
Kevin Durant has played all 150 career playoff games and scored double-digit points in every single one of them. It is the third longest streak of all time, trailing only Michael Jordan and this player. Is it A, LeBron James, B, Kobe Bryant, C, Karl Malone, or D, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar?
Okay. This one's tough. This is not a layup.
Excuse the pun.
I'm going to go here with Kobe Bryant, the late great.
Man.
Wow.
This guy is on fuego. We need a heat check.
He's like hitting shots like Kobe is right now. Everything. Like, no heat check necessary.
Okay, one thing,
I knew that one, too, because I knew it was Kobe.
Well, one thing is, though, like, shot volume for Kobe Bryant was always there.
Mm-hmm.
So if he's not hitting double digits, there's something wrong, right?
Kevin Durant just passed Karl Malone on that list.
Okay.
So LeBron not in that one specific statistic. I've been crying a lot about the Blue Jays bullpen this week.
Yes, you have.
This question for the people, 650-650 on the Dunbar Lumber text line. People, this question is for you. First answer in on the Dunbar Lumber text line is the people's answer. All right, you need this one to stay in the race. The Blue Jays have had one closer reach 40-plus saves in a season. Who was it? A, Kelvin Escobar. B, BJ Ryan. C, Dwayne Ward. Or D, Roberto Osuna. One closer in Blue Jays history with 40-plus saves in a season. A, Kelvin Escobar. B, BJ Ryan. C, Dwayne Ward. And D, Roberto Osuna.
Can we steal? No?
Not yet. No, the people got to come in.
The people, I see a C on the Dunbar Lumber text line. That is the correct answer. Dwayne Ward, 45 saves in 1993.
I can't believe Billy Koch was not one of the answers.
Oh, I know. I was hoping Billy Koch would be one. Billy the Kid.
Billy Koch. Wow, the people really came in hard on that one. Love it. Kelvin Escobar was a personal favorite of mine. I'm going to be honest.
Starter turned closer.
Yep. Didn't really work as a starter. BJ Ryan had one good year. The rest was not great. We can't all be so blessed as Yankees fans with Mariano Rivera.
Hey, BJ Ryan. That did
one
it,
year.
Right? Made $45 million on his contract.
Yeah.
Yeah, he had one good year. One really good year.
All right, Sat, you got to stay. You got to get this to stay in with Randeep here.
All right.
We got to keep it going quickly. All right, number one movie in 2011, since we've been looking back at the 2011 Cup Final. Was it A, The Hangover Part 2, B, Transformers Dark of the Moon, C, The Twilight Saga, Breaking Dawn, Part 1, or D, Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows, Part 2.
Harry Potter.
Man.
You're a wizard, Harry.
But how did you even have that?
Kid's good.
Harry Potter movies. Any Harry Potter movie is going to be number
yeah,
one.
I know.
So well I was
done.
Like,
well done.
Yeah.
Nicely done.
All right, Randy. To stay in the lead.
Okay.
Now I got to give this question to the people. I can't. No, I got to change up the order. This question goes to the people.
He's trying to screw me with this.
No, no.
Fair enough.
I came up with this question. I like where you're going, Dan. I came up with this question because of Randeep's Instagram stories this week and how much he loves Tupac. So I can't give him this question.
Because it would clinch a win for me. You don't want to.
I can't do it. Okay. Tupac would have turned 50 this week, as Randeep made sure everybody knew.
Correct.
What is officially his number one single of all time? Is it A, Dear Mama, B, Changes, C, California Love, or D, Ghetto Gospel? The people, this is your question. 650-650 on the Dunbar Lumber text line. First answer in on the Dunbar Lumber text line is the people's answer. Again, Tupac's official number one single of all time. It is not California Love. The people are incorrect on the Dunbar Lumber text line.
I knew that.
Come on, come on. I see no changes. Wake up in the morning and I ask myself. It's like
yep.
living,
yep.
should I blast myself?
It's Changes. B.
Yes.
Great song. Not surprised by that one at all.
Yep.
That would have been too easy. I'm glad you switched it up.
Okay.
I'm glad you switched it up.
All right. Now Randeep for the win. The number one song in June of 2011. Let's go with the first clue.
Got it.
That's yeah.
okay. I know this. Hold on.
Can I steal yet?
No, hold on. I'm so bad with names.
Randeep, I am giving you, we are up against the clock, okay?
Rolling in the Deep.
Yes. By whom?
It doesn't matter.
By whom?
What's her name?
You gotta say the artist.
Hold on.
You gotta say the artist. By whom?
You blew it! No. It's a half point there. I got the name.
No, you gotta get the full thing.
What is her name?
Say her name!
I'm blanking on her
how
name.
How do you not know her
I'm
name?
How much time do you get?
I'm blanking on her name.
You get buzzed out.
All right.
Dan, you buzzed
half.
A kid.
All right.
You guys buzzed a kid off the line after 4 seconds, Randy. You've got a minute to answer.
All right.
I got it now, but I've been buzzed.
Sat and the people get a chance to steal.
All right, Adele, Rolling in the Deep.
Oh, man, I knew.
And it was like the easiest. Like I got it as soon as I heard the drum beat. I'm like, oh, I know what this is.
Yeah, I can't believe I forgot her name.
All right, so tiebreaker, I guess we got to do.
A tiebreaker.
Shows to the people because they got it as well.
Yes, the people getting it on the Dunbar Lumber text line as well. All right, we have a tiebreaker question. Who was the last, and you got to buzz in for this, okay?
Okay, multiple choice or not?
It's multiple choice.
Okay.
Who is the last non-American to win the U.S. Open? People, play along as quickly as you can. Who was the last non-American to win the U.S. Open? A, Martin Keimer. B, Justin Rose. C, Rory McIlroy. Or D, Francesco Molinari.
I'll buzz in.
Randeep is buzzing in.
This is totally random because I'm not hashtag golf guy. I'm going to Rory.
That is incorrect. Sat, your chance to take your first dub here on the Friday quiz.
Martin Keimer.
Oh! Well done.
Ha, finally!
And the people incorrect on the Dunbar Lumber text line, they answered Justin Rose for that question. Martin Keimer, the German. The last non-American to win the U.S. Open. Shouts to Sat getting his first dub.
Congratulations, Sat, but I had
you blew it.
I had an epic collapse here. This was Greg Norman at the Masters worthy. How did I forget Adele's name?
Hey, I blew a layup last week.
You
so.
Did. You did. We were even on that front. But,
man,
I still got a lead.
Sat coming back after missing the Max LaPierre question. That's an impressive recovery right there.
I was like the Bruins in 2011, down 0-2 and came back.
Maybe we could talk about Rolling in the Deep being the number one song at the time that the Canucks blew the 2011 Cup final.
Well, Canucks fans know the intro to Game 7.
Yeah.
One of the best montages was that song. Or wait, it was one of the songs. I'm not sure if that was the one for Game 7. It may have been a different one. But regardless, one of the ones against Bruins was that song.
We got to run. Hey, golfers, get great Vancouver golf for less. Go to discountgolfcard.ca for all the details and to order your Vancouver discount golf card today. The People's Show will join up with Dave Pignota next on Sports at 650.